8. Speech acts and pragmatics. You can do things with speech. You can make promises, lay bets, issue warnings, christen boats, place names in nomination, offer congratulations, swear testimony. By saying, "I warn you that there is a sheepdog in the closet," you not only say something, you warn someone. Verbs like bet, promise, warn, and so on are performative verbs. Using them in a sentence may sometimes be tantamount to performing some non-linguistic act. There are hundreds of performative verbs in every language. The following sentences illustrate their usage. I bet you $5 the Yankees win. I challenge you to a match. I dare you to step over this line. I fine you $100 for possession of oregano. I move that we adjourn. I nominate Batman for mayor of Gotham City. I promise to improve. I resign. Notice that in all these sentences, the speaker is the subject, that is, they are in first person, and in uttering the sentence is performing some non-linguistic act, such as daring, nominating, resigning. Also, all these sentences are affirmative, declarative, and in the present tense. All this is typical of performative sentences. Actually, every utterance is some kind of speech act. Even when there is no performative verb, as in "it is raining," we recognize an implicit performance of stating. On the other hand, "is it raining?" is a performance of questioning, just as "leave" is a performance of ordering. In all these, we could use, if we chose, an actual performative verb. I state that it is raining. I ask if it is raining. I order you to leave. Language is full of implicit promises, toasts, warnings, and so on. "I will marry you" is an implicit performance of a promise, and, under appropriate circumstances, is as much a promise as "I promise I will marry you." Plainly, to arise from your seat, glass in hand, and shout "the health of our host" is as genuinely a toast as if you said "I toast the health of our host." The study of how we do things with sentences is the study of speech acts. In studying speech acts, we are acutely aware of the importance of the context of the utterance. In some circumstances, "there is a sheepdog in the closet" is a warning. But the very same sentence may be a promise or even a mere statement of fact, depending on circumstances. Speech act theory aims to tell us when it is that we ask questions but mean orders, or when we say one thing with special sarcastic intonation and mean the opposite. Thus, at a dinner table, the question, "Can you pass the salt?" means the order, "Pass the salt." It is not a request for information, and "yes" is an inappropriate response. Still, much humor is achieved by characters who take everything literally. "Whose grave is this, sirrah?" "Mine, sir." "What man dost thou dig it for?" "For no man, sir." "What woman, then?" "For none, neither." "Who is to be buried in't?" "One that was a woman, sir, but rest her soul, she's dead." How absolute the knave is! We must speak by the card, or equivocation will undo us. The general study of how context influences the way we interpret sentences is called pragmatics. The theory of speech acts is part of pragmatics, and pragmatics itself is part of what we have been calling linguistic performance. Speakers often make explicit assumptions about the real world, and the sense of an utterance may depend on those assumptions, which some linguists term presuppositions. Consider the following. A. Have you stopped hugging your sheepdog? B. Who bought the badminton set? C. John doesn't write poems in the bathroom. D. The present king of France is bald. E. Would you like another beer? In A, the speaker has presupposed that the listener has at some past time hugged his sheepdog. In B, there is the presupposition that someone has already bought a badminton set. And in C, it is assumed that John writes poetry. We understand D, even though France does not presently have a king. The use of a definite term usually presupposes an existing referent. When presuppositions are inconsistent with the actual state of the world, the utterance is felt to be strange. If someone were to say E to you, the meaning of that sentence presupposes or implies that you have already had at least one beer. Part of the meaning of the word another includes this presupposition. The Hatter in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland would not agree with us. "Take some more tea," the March Hare said to Alice very earnestly. "I've had nothing yet," Alice replied in an offended tone, "so I can't take more." "You mean you can't take less?" said the Hatter. "It's very easy to take more than nothing." The humor in this passage comes from the fact that knowing the language includes knowing the meaning of the word more. More does not mean more than nothing, but more than something. In other words, more in this usage presupposes something previously.